Welcome back. And right now we have Isabel Hoffman, who is the CEO of a company called Telspec. And I think what she is doing is super cool, partially because, you know, everyone who watches the show knows I'm, or who listens to the show rather, knows that I'm obsessed with cooking and food and eating. And what Telspec has is a little handheld scanner that can tell you what's in your food. So hi, Isabel.
Hi, Stacey. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Oh, well, I'm excited to talk about what you guys are doing. So you guys have an Indiegogo project. And can you tell me a little bit about what, is it the Telspec scanner or is it just Telspec?
Well, it's the Telspec is the name of the company. What we offer is actually a three-system offer. One of them is the scanner for your food, the Telspec scanner. And the other one is the algorithm that analyzes what the scanner has scanned, and then an app that delivers to your phone the ingredients of the food scanned. So it's really a three-system component.
So this seems almost too good to be true. So what you're doing is I scan this over my food. It can tell me things like the ingredients, checking for like lactose, gluten, all the things that people are worried about eating. It also gives me calorie counts, fats, carbohydrates, basic vitamins.
Correct. So foods are basically fats, proteins, and carbohydrates, right? So yes, we analyze those components of your food and deliver to you, deliver through the app to the user, the information about those ingredients from, you know, if there is, you know, trans fats, if there is, what type of sugar there is, how many starches you have. And because we are analyzing food based on those three different components, we actually are able to give you calories as well as a carbohydrates per gram. So I have to emphasize here the per gram, because, of course, we cannot detect the size of the food in front of you. We don't have a volume counter here. But since after you scanned the food, we can, and based on that scan, we can say, okay, in that scan, we see these many fats and these many carbohydrates and these many proteins, and therefore, this is the kind of calories you have per 100 grams or the kind of carbohydrates you have per 100 grams. Helping people that may suffer from diabetic disorders or metabolic syndrome track down their carbohydrate intake, as well as helping those that want to lose weight track down their calories, and helping those that may be concerned about environmental toxic chemicals, avoid them, or those that have allergies to a certain substance like gluten to be more prepared to not eat certain foods that may contain the allergen.
Awesome. So this seems kind of too good to be true. As someone who like has tracked her calories before, I'm like, I have to go online and then I have to look it up and then I have to manually input it. So I look at this and I think, wow, that's just exactly what I've been looking for. So you told me earlier that this works by basically bouncing a laser off the food. And when the laser hits the food, the different signals that it sends back, so the wavelengths that it's sending back, you guys have an algorithm that translates that into the ingredients, right?
So I'm going to explain slightly. So the technology is actually spectroscopy. The laser is sent to the food, and when the laser is sent to the food, the photons that are beamed from the laser have a fixed wavelength. When they hit the food, some of them bounce back, so they reflect back. And when they bounce back, they no longer have the same wavelength as previously when they went in. They will change their wavelength depending on the molecule they have hit in a food. So we detect the photons bouncing back and their wavelength, and we count how many photons we got for how many wavelengths. And once we have that information, which is essentially just mathematical numbers, we can then analyze. It becomes a mathematical problem of how many photons we got with how many wavelengths. So say we got 72 photons with these wavelengths and 32 with that many wavelengths and so on. So it becomes a mathematical problem. And so the strength of our intellectual property is actually resides on the algorithm or the software, if you want to call it, or the engine, the analysis food engine that resides in the cloud to analyze what was received by the scanner. Once the analysis is done, and the analysis involves not just terabytes, but larger numbers than terabytes petabytes, which are 1,024 terabytes, once that analysis is done, then information is sent to the user's smartphone via an app. But the basis of the technology is spectroscopy. The interesting part of what we have to bring into the world in terms of these analysis is actually the algorithm or the food analysis engine. That's the uniqueness that we have to offer, because out there is already some spectrometers that actually can analyze certain raw data. They don't do the analysis with the same type of software.
And so this is something that's available. You've got to fund it ahead of time on Indiegogo. And it is, let's see, there it's about $250. There's, I think, a few $200 pledges left. And you expect that price to kind of go up as you add distribution and things like that, because you're basically selling it at cost today, right?
That's correct. We are selling it at cost, and we're giving it to a 2-year subscription for free for Indiegogo goers that have pledged on us. So when this is going to be available for retail, there will be a subscription because this is very similar to a phone, right? When we do the analysis, as I mentioned before, the analysis is quite intensive. We have to pay our costs of the server costs. So there is a subscription attached to it, not for those people that have pledged on our campaign in Indiegogo, but for those that will buy it later.
Sure. If you're talking about petabytes of data, that's a lot of analysis and a lot of server crunching or number crunching in the cloud.
Yep.
So, okay. And that's going to be out in the market around August for most people, except those few lucky beta people, but no one else can be part of that right now.
Yeah, the beta testers did sell out. We cannot handle more than 50, and we actually have requests now for 3 more, and which I'm going to close my eyes and say yes, but because their projects are quite interesting. But you're correct, you know, so beta testers will get a prototype in their hands by April, and the rest of the Indiegogoers pledgers are getting it in August 2014.
Okay, well, let's talk about what this means, because when I saw this, I was really excited, because for years, I have been trying to figure out how to get both what I eat and the foods I buy categorized online in some sort of database. It could help me track calories, it could help me manage like how I grocery shop, it could help me meal plan. And so GigaOM, we have a lot of foodies, so we write about this a lot, but I'd love to hear what you kind of are thinking about. This is like a really easy way to get the food I eat onto the internet.
Yes, this is really, I see this as the internet of food, or internet of things, but the things are really the food. So we're going to be able to categorize the foods, the ingredients of the foods, actually, and use them and correlate them with other data. As an example, say, for instance, we are a person that is suffering from diabetes is using our scanner to track down the intake of carbohydrates and to track down what they actually are eating. Together, they may be tracking this with another app when they need to take insulin, or with another app that tells them their blood sugar levels. Now, suppose we correlate all these data into one. So the user can actually understand, eventually, this is, you know, down the line, what foods are spiking their blood sugar, and when they are spiking their blood sugar, and what is needed to address it. So this is one example of correlation of data, but there's many others. And so another example that I like to give is the one that focuses on public health studies. Today, we may be able to conclude a link between a certain exposure to a chemical, or, you know, intake, ingestion of a chemical, to linking to a disorder, say a neurological disorder. As an example, there's quite a few studies out there that link Parkinson to the exposure of certain pesticides. But we cannot really do these studies in human beings. This is unethical. We're not going to go and grab a control group and another group and offer to the non-control group exposure to pesticides and then conclude, oh, yeah, it did cause Parkinson. No, we today use animals or we use clusters where we know that specific pesticide is being used. Now, imagine the use of these data through TELSPEC. So we know that a certain amount of people have eaten a certain type of food. So now let's look at the pesticide idea. So we are, say tangerines that have a certain pesticide or apples that have a certain pesticide. And then suddenly we also know the symptoms of these people. We know what these people down the line are suffering from. And so suddenly we have a tremendous, fantastic opportunity to gather this data to help public health, to help people, to help governments, to help hospitals in correcting certain exposures that we may today predict there is a link, but we don't really have causation. So we don't really have this is the cause of. So we see that we are baby steps, doing the baby steps to get into this Internet of Things where we start to understand what really are these foods, what are these ingredients, how they link to us, what do they bring to us, how do we correlate them with all sorts of our lives and all sorts of things that we do in our lives. And that's very exciting, very, very exciting, because it belongs in the area of big data, but big data for good health, hopefully for good health.
Yeah, no, this is, I was excited about being able to like track what I eat and thus have a way to like have something help me make my grocery list every week. And you're sitting here telling me that, gosh, we could really find causation around pesticide use in certain diseases. So I suddenly feel very, very small-minded. But it brings up an interesting idea, which is if you're going to do something like that, we don't have a lot of, I guess you would need a peer review kind of test of your device, yes? Yeah. Or how do you kind
well,
of make sure it works?
Yes, we've been approached by quite a few universities to work with us to do the peer review. So, and we have yet to sign some agreements, but we will very likely do joint grants to have those publications done. And we're very, very interested in doing that. Because that would solidify the data we have and establish us as a real help into the science of of public health and environmental health.
No, and I liked how I saw on the app it offers you the option of like showing you that hey you're not eating enough iron or you need some more folic acid, which as someone who apparently I've been diagnosed with a severe vitamin D deficiency despite living in Texas and actually spending time outside. So I'm like, oh, it would be really nice to have something that lets me know that the vitamin D I'm apparently not getting, where I could get more of it.
Well, vitamin D is probably not obtained by food. I'm sorry, Stacey.
Oh, this is terrible.
Vitamin D is much better absorbed by taking a little bit of sun, 15 minutes a day. So it's probably a poor example, but a good example in the sense that you just correlated one thing with the other. So you're short, you have depleted some resources of something that is important like iron, and suddenly you have your medical data. That information is also in some app, and suddenly you know how to track down your iron intake through TELSPEC. So that's a perfect example. I mean, people would really welcome that.
Okay. Well, on that note, which is very positive, I will close out this interview. So thank you so much, Isabel, for coming, and I can't wait to check out TELSPEC.
Thank you very much, Stacey.